Hello and welcome to the Toras Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Aviva Orlian and today we will be studying Tehillim, Perek Pei 80. We continue with learning the songs of Asaph. We had said previously that Asaph is from a family of Levite singers, possibly a contemporary of David HaMelech, and therefore his descriptions of the Golos that many of his compositions include may have been a prediction, a prophecy of what would happen. There are others that suggest that he is actually a descendant of Korach. There are further opinions that state that he may have lived well past David HaMelech's time and may have actually witnessed some of the events described in his songs. Either way, whether he lived during the time or before the time that is described, as we know, the words of Tehillim are multidimensional and are prophetic and of course relate to past, present, and future times in history. For our current perek, the themes surrounding this perek may relate to the conditions that Bnei Yisrael experienced under the Assyrian domination after the exile of the 10 tribes. The Malbim suggests, actually, that this was written by Asaph, an Asaph who lived during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, and he bemoaned the plight of the people who had returned from Bavel, from that first Golas, back to the land of Israel, trying to rebuild the society and trying to rebuild the temple, the Beis HaMikdash, but they were met with a tremendous amount of resistance. But most agree that this is a song of Golas, and there are three different Golios that are hinted to here in this perek. And that is related to the refrain that we will see embedded within this perek three times. Hashivenu v'ha'er panecha v'nivasheya. Return us, shine your countenance upon us, and save us. Each one representing a different exile. The first pasuk, Lamanatzeach el Shoshanim, Eidus la'asaf mizmor, to the conductor about the Shoshanim, a testimony, a song of Asaph. The Shoshanim can be interpreted as a musical instrument. Some suggest that it may be shaped, some sort of musical instrument that was shaped like a Shoshana, like a rose. Or it is a reference to the Jewish people who were referred to as a Shoshana. The famous Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Kishoshana Bein HaChochim, like a rose among thorns. A flower that is surrounded by thorns but remains a thing of beauty, much like Am Yisrael through the many thorny exiles, remain a nation unsullied. Eidus la'asaf mizmar, Eidus is a special introduction to a mizmar, indicating a testimony, as if Asaf is saying, I am giving testimony to the perseverance of Am Yisrael. We continue with Pasuk Beis, Ro'e Yisrael, Ha'azina, Nohei Katzon Yosef, the shepherd of Yisrael, listen, please lead the sheep of Yosef, Yoshev HaKruvim Hofia, the God who sits and whose Shechina is shown amongst, between the Kruvim, appear. We want to see Hashem's countenance. Hashem is referred to here as the Ro'e Yisrael, the shepherd of Israel, and of Yoshev HaKruvim. We ask Hashem to listen to our pleas and lead his sheep. Here, Klal Yisrael is referred to as Yosef, Katzon Yosef. Yosef is invoked perhaps because he sustained his family in Egypt during famine, during a time of famine. And if we are referring to the time of Sancheiriv, where he set siege around Jerusalem, then this association is so meaningful because remember the people were suffering from starvation during that time. So thinking about Yosef and Yosef feeding Klal Yisrael during a time of famine is very appropriate. An added possibility of the use of Yosef, Katzon Yosef, is that Yosef is a model for how to survive in Golos. Yosef is the model of one who did not succumb to the many temptations of Golos. We will address the reference to Hashem as the Yoshev HaKruvim as we progress in our perek. The perek continues to appeal to Hashem to make his presence known. It's interesting that this within this perek, all of Klal Yisrael is referred to as Ephraim, Menashe, which is the tribe of Yosef, and in addition, they are referred to as Binyamin. Remember that Ephraim and Menashe were exiled with the first wave of the 10 tribes, the Aseres HaShvatim, and Binyamin joined with Malchus Yehuda. So Binyamin was saved from that exile. So Binyamin may be mentioned here, perhaps as a way to state our hope that the tribes unite once again. As we said, this is a parak of exile, and exile equals distance from Hashem, which is why, as we said, there's a refrain three times referring to the exile. But the essence of the refrain is the idea that we want to reconnect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look at the refrain in Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk Ches, and Pasuk Chaf. In Pasuk Dalet, Elokim Hashivenu v'ha'er panecha v'nivashaya, God, the God of strict justice, return us and have your countenance shine upon us and save us. And similarly, the Pasuk expands to say, Elokim tzvakos Hashivenu v'ha'er panecha v'nivashaya in Pasuk 8. And in Pasuk Chaf, it expands even further, Hashem Elokim tzvakos Hashivenu ha'er panecha v'nivashaya. What is the idea of Ha'er Panecha? If we look back to Birchas Kohanim in Parshas Naso in Sefer Bamidbar, we have Ya'er Hashem Panav Eilecha, Ya'er. Let's look at how Ya'er is interpreted in Parshas Naso. Rashi interprets Ya'er Panav, that Hashem should shine his face upon us, is Yira'elecha Panim Sochakos Panim Tzehuvos, that Hashem should show us his smile, happy face, his very illuminated face, like Tzahov is like yellow, illuminated, happy, his happy countenance. And the Or HaChaim summarizes it as follow: Peirush shelo yehiye mesech hamavdil bein Yisrael la'avim shebashamayim. There should not be a mask that separates Bnei Yisrael from their father in heaven, Shebazeh Ya'ir Or Shechinaso al Yisrael, because when there is a separation, Hashem cannot shine his Shechina upon Bnei Yisrael. So one way we can understand Ya'ir is that the distance between us and Hashem should be closed. Within this parak, there is another imagery of the distance. In Pasuk 5, in Pasuk Hey, Hashem Elokim Tzvakos, again the use of Hashem Elokim Tzvakos, Ad Masaya Shanta Betfila Samecha, until when will you be angry, like fuming, smoking, and angry with the tefillah of your people? What a sad question that we ask, because we look at tefillah as a way to gain connection with Hashem. And this seems to say that Hashem is angry with our prayers. What does that mean? The word ashan is actually used to imply anger, because perhaps ashan is smoke, and smoke blinds, it masks, it creates separation. Perhaps we can draw on the prophecies of Yeshayahu, who berates Am Yisrael for their insincere avoda and prayer, to try to understand why Hashem is angry and why we ask Hashem not to continually be angry at our prayers. In Yeshayahu, Perek Aleph, where Yeshayahu describes the devastation of Golos that will happen, very similar and echoes of the descriptions of what Asaf has been using. We're going to suffer in this Golos. And Yeshayahu tells us and berates us in Perak Aleph, Pasuk Yud Beis 12, Lama li rov zivchechem yomar Hashem? Why do I want all of your sacrifices? Savati olo selim v'chelev meriim. I am overly satisfied. I have too much. I'm stuffed with all of your sacrifices. And then he continues in Pasuk Yud Gimel of that Perak, Tavoli ra'os panai, mi bikesh zos miyadchem ramos chatzerai. You want to come and see my face? You want to come and do the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash? Who asked you to come and trample my courtyards? Ufroschem chapechem alim einai mikem. When you spread your palms towards me in supplication, I am going to hide my eyes from you. Gam ki tarbu tefila eineni shomea. And when you pray with intensity, I won't listen. Why? Why would Hashem not listen to our tefilos? Because if those tefilos come from a person who is systematically corrupt, it is a defilement. As Yeshayahu continues, Yedechem damim meleu. When our hands are full of blood, and this of course can be figurative as well, when we cause harm to others, Klal Yisrael, we're involved in murder. If we oppress, we take advantage, we are dishonest, causing harm to others, our prayers won't be as potent, they will be despised in Hashem's eyes. We know why there is a separation, but still we don't give up. And Asaf wants us to have that connection again. Yeshaya, within that parak, gives us a prescription for reestablishing that connection. Rachatzu, hizaku, hasiru roam alalecha mineged einai, chidlu hara. Engage in personal rehabilitation. Purify yourselves. Remove the evil vis-a-vis Hashem and your fellow man. And now we turn back to our perek, where Asaf bemoans the fate of Am Yisrael, the very conditions that Yeshayahu had prophesied about the pains and the horrors of Golus. And therefore, Asaf continues and he compares Bnei Yisrael to a grapevine. The grapevine was attended to lovingly. It was transplanted from Egypt, from Mitzrayim, to Eretz Yisrael. Again, this is a reference to the close relationship that we once had. This metaphor is described in Sukkim Tes through Yodalid. Gefen mimitzrayim tasia, tigaresh gayim v'sita'eh. This grapevine flourished and filled the land and beautified the land. But then we, the vineyard, was not protected, and the enemies plucked off the grapes. They plucked us off one by one. And then we say in Tesvav, Elokim Tzvakos, Hashem, the God of hosts, Shuvna, Habet Mishamayim Ure'eh, God, look at us from the heavens and see us, attend to us. Ure'eh Pekod Gefen Zos, Pekod is the idea of paying special attention to us, like Hashem Pakad Esar, it means Hashem attended to Saras, pay special attention to us. Remember this grapevine, this special plant that you yourself nurtured. And in Pasuk Yotes, V'lona Sog Mimeka, T'chayenu U'v'shimcha Nikra, when you attend to us, we won't look away from you this time. We will call out. We will call out in your name. And Asaf finishes off the parak with the refrain introduced by the three names of Hashem. Hashem, Elokim Tzvakos, Hashivenu, Ha'er Panecha V'nivasheya. We are asking Hashem to bring us back from the Golos. And we use the refrain, Hashivenu Ha'er Panecha V'nivasheya. We want Hashem to return us. We ask Hashem to shine His light upon us. But do we have a part to play in this? What is our part of the equation? How do we engage in what Yeshayahu tells us, Rachatzu Hizaku? Ha'er Panecha, aside from implying a connection with Hashem, implies another level of connection, namely that we want to be enlightened with the light of Torah, which in essence brings us closer to Hashem. As the Medrash Rabbah tells us in Parshas Naso with reference to the Birchas Kohanim and the idea of Ya'er, the Medrash Rabbah tells us Ya'er ze ma'or Torah, that's the light of Torah. She'ya'ir einecha v'libcha ba'Torah, that your eyes, the Kohanim are giving us this blessing. What does Ya'er mean? That your eyes should be enlightened with the light of Torah, your eyes and your hearts. V'yitein lecha banim b'nei Torah, and that you should, with that light of Torah, you should pass that on to your children. As it says, ki ner mitzvah v'torah ar. The Torah and mitzvos are compared to a light. Hashivenu, bring us home and help us achieve that goal by assisting us in the process of teshuvah. Hashivenu via our teshuvah. Ha'er panecha, shine your light on us by helping us achieve the ultimate R, the light of Torah. That's how we achieve connection. This is a partnership. We have to own up to our responsibility by engaging in teshuvah, realignment of priorities, and the most effective way to do this is by having this R. We should ensure that we shine with the light of Torah, that our lives align with the Torah ideals. Perhaps this brings us back to the beginning of our perek. We refer to Hashem as Yoshev HaKruvim Hofia, Hashem whose Shechina sits, who sat between the Kruvim, appear. Hashem is referred to as Yoshev HaKruvim. The Kruvim covered the Aron, which houses the Luchos, representing, of course, the divine law, the Torah. The Aron is the nucleus of the Mishkan. The Aron was the nucleus of the nation as they traveled in the wilderness. It was the nerve center where everything revolved around it, which housed the Luchos Ha'edus. Lamanatzeach El Shoshanim Edus La'asaf Mizmar. It's introduced, this parak is introduced with the idea of Edus. Bnei Yisrael has the potential to be as beautiful as a rose. Lamanatzeach El Shoshanim Edus La'asaf Mizmar. Bnei Yisrael can be as beautiful as that rose when we resist foreign ideals like the rose amongst thorns. We survive the thorns, the weapons of the enemy, when we resist the other type of thorns, the ideals of the nations around us, Kishoshana ben Hachochim. When we do that, we proclaim an Edus, Eidos la'asaf mezmar, calling to mind the luchos ha'eidos, which bear testimony to our commitment. As the Ibn Ezra explains in Parshas Truma, that the implication of eidos relating to the luchos is indeed a commitment like a ksuba, a marriage contract between Hashem and Am Yisrael. Recall that there were two sets of luchos. The first ones were broken because of the missteps of Klal Yisrael with Chet HaEgel. The second whole luchos represented a second chance, yet the first shattered luchos were preserved as a reminder that we indeed make mistakes. We can cause our own separation, yet we all have second chances. We look at the luchos, the second set of luchos, as representing that second chance. We say, Eidos la'asaf mizmar. We show, as it were, our contract, our eidos, that we want to revert to this contract once again. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Sonia Finkelstein, Chana Sara, Bas Chaim Leib.